All right, I have to admit, that song's fun. Micah just has to put a little bit more energy into it. And he's not listening. Well, Steve asked the question, and I didn't hear any responses. Any donuts, cookies? So I slipped up this year. I think it's been kind of like Steve. Every now and then, after the fact, I go, oh, crud, I never even thought about it. But this year, last Friday, we went down to the museum. And on the way, and I don't even know what triggered me, I didn't clean out my car. And I told Sebastian when I got out of the car, they'd come and visit. I said, this is all your fault. I told him about it. He said, how is it my fault? They'd arrived on Tuesday evening, and I had plans. I'd planned out my Wednesday to some extent, part of which was cleaning out vehicles. Of course, Sebastian and the kids get there, and Wednesday morning, we're not in a rush to get going on things, but I had several things that had to be done, and we planned our day around those several things, and one of them was not cleaning the vehicles, so I didn't clean my vehicle. Let's start out in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. We know this passage pretty well. Paul's here is chewing out the Corinthians. He's found out that there's sexual immorality in the Corinthian church. In verse 6, he says, your boasting is not a good thing. Your boasting. They're boasting about sexual immorality? No, I don't think so. I think like a lot of us, they just look at their lives as individuals, maybe as a congregation, and they're thinking, everything's going pretty good. I'm on the right track. I'm doing everything I should, the way I could. And Paul's saying, you've got this huge scar forming over there in the corner, and you're not doing anything about it. He says, your boasting is not a good thing. Do you not know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Clean out the old yeast. The old yeast. He didn't say just clean out the yeast. He says clean out the leaven, the old leaven. Well, that means he's implying that there's residual there. Something that should be gone or swept away from time to time and replaced. Clean out that old yeast so that you may be a new batch, as you really are unleavened. For our Paschal Lamb, Christ, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the festival, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and evil, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So let's look at those three terms, malice, evil, and sincerity, in the Greek. The malice, that's badness, depravity, malignity. Passively, it could be just simply trouble. Evil, wickedness. The word evil there in the Greek is about the same, malice. Plotting of sin, iniquity, and wickedness. And then just so that we make sure we understand what's trying to be said here, the term sincerity, that's clearness. By implication, purity. This past week, we were to focus on removing leaven, sin, out of our lives. So did we do everything we could to do just that? Did we start looking in the nooks and crannies? Do we even know where the nooks and crannies lie at? Because most of the time we don't. I've read this passage quite a few times over my lifetime. And most of those, I've thought, I'm not the person I used to be. I've made some gains, some positive gains. I don't want to go back to my old ways. And I feel like I'm diligent in trying to shed off or keep away from me new sin entering my life. But when I did read this passage, there was always something that said, have I really fulfilled it? If I'm doing everything I could be, should be, have I removed all that old leavening out of my life? I'm even trying diligently to keep new leaven or sin from entering my life. So shouldn't I be able to just check that off the list, say, I'm done? This passage for me is still very, very relevant, just as it was 20 years ago. All right, let's switch things up here for just a few minutes. Let's go into cooking class. We're going to bake the world's greatest batch of chocolate chip cookies. What do we need? Awesome first ingredient.
Yay. Oatmeal.
Oatmeal. For chocolate chip cookies. Okay. All right. Not everyone agrees with the oatmeal, but.
Butter.
Butter. Okay. That's a good one. What else?
Flour.
Flour. Yes.
Baking soda.
Baking soda. We do need that, don't we? If we want the world's greatest batch of cookies. Anything? What's that? They would not be cookies without sugar, so thank you.
Both sugar, both brown and white.
All right, yeah, even double it up on this sugar. Yep. Any other ingredients you think probably should go into this world's greatest batch?
Vanilla extract.
Vanilla extract and what, eggs, yes?
A little bit of oil.
And oil.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yep, milk wouldn't hurt, probably. I think, did we cover it all?
Yep.
All right, we're going to make two batches. What's that? Maybe. But not in this message. We're going to do everything exactly the same, with except the exception of the baking soda. We're not going to put that in one of the batches. So we've got our dough all mixed up. We probably should test taste it, shouldn't we? Everybody, people like cookie dough? A lot of people do. Some people say no, but there's a little bit of it. I think there's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. Okay, no oatmeal. All right, so we've got two batches here, and the only difference is there's baking soda in one, no baking soda in the other. Can you taste the difference?
Nope.
Can you see the difference?
Nope.
Can you smell the difference?
Nope.
Could you feel the difference?
Nope.
But there is a difference, isn't there? All right, so taste the same. It's time to throw it in the oven. What, 400 degrees?
350.
350, okay.
375.
All right. For what, 2 hours? 35 minutes. All right, so we've honed in on hopefully the right temperature, the right time. How did the two batches turn out?
The one without baking soda spread out. The other one didn't.
So did we, with one batch, did we end up with the world's perfect, most best chocolate chip cookie? Probably so, right? The other one, was it the world's worst?
Nope.
Did it taste the same? It doesn't taste the same? It has all the same ingredients. It tasted the same as in dough. But what really changed is its look, didn't it? Did it bake the same? No, so the ones without baking soda are probably way overdone, aren't they? Probably pretty crispy. We left out one of the smallest ingredients. Oh, we forgot salt. Oh, did you? Okay, all right. Is it a little bit of salt, not much. So between baking soda and salt, they're probably about the same, or close to the same quantity. You know, not a whole lot in the batch. But we left out one small ingredient, and there was a huge change in the outcome, wasn't there? Sin. No matter how small we think it is in our lives, it makes a huge change to the outcome, an outcome that we don't want. It's not about leavening. It's about sin. Leavening is not a problem. God didn't forbid us from partaking of leavening. But for this past week, he did want us to put it aside, get it out of our houses, so that he could point out to us an analogy for sin. Something that maybe we could see, visualize, experience from our daily lives, and see what that tiny little ingredient, that small quantity, does to the rest of the batch. So, how do we remove the old sin, all of the sin, out of our lives? Let's go to Matthew 3. We've got several passages here, again, you're going to be familiar with. Matthew 3 and verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And from that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." That's in Matthew 4 and verse 17. Repentance requires a complete change, not simply an acknowledgement. We can realize we have sin in our life, but it's not until we actually get rid of the sin, not attempt to, but get rid of it. Acts 17, verse 30. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent. So no one gets out of it. He requires repentance. Acts 3 and verse 19. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah appointed for you, that is, Jesus. He says in verse 20, so that times of refreshing may come to us. How many have looked at, especially a kid, and saw on their face, and then we verbalize, "You look guilty. What have you been up to?" We've probably done it to some adults too. When there's a problem going on in our lives, we carry it. Whether we think we do or not, we carry it. If we lie, we have to keep hiding the lie, probably with more lies. If we take something that isn't ours, we have to shelter that. There's guilt, there's shame, worry about, will I get caught or did I actually get away with it? What about if it was towards a person, an individual, or a group of people? How comfortable are you at spending time with that individual or group? Because Maybe they found out, or they're about to find out. We carry it with us. Luke 15, verse 7. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. In order to truly remove sin from our lives, there must be true repentance. Full-on repentance. Not just the attempt at it, but full-on repentance. So how does that go? Well, first, we're going to acknowledge our sin. Probably have to start with ourselves. I'm a thief. I'm a liar. We can just go on down the list. What am I? What have I been? The next step is critical. We ask for forgiveness. Next, we do everything we can in our power to not only remove it from our lives, but keep it from returning. If we lie one time, and especially if we get away with it, what's the likelihood at a future date it's going to be so much easier to speak the next lie? We have to do everything we can to keep it from returning. That means if we remove something out of our lives, there was a void. Now we must replace or fill that void. When we remove sin, there is a void that's left. And that void is going to have to be filled with something else. Otherwise, the sin does come back, and usually greater than before. Recently, I was privileged to hear someone give testimony as to how God has been working these processes in their life. Processes that probably have been going on for decades. And as I listened, I heard a handful of elements in that conversation that I've either been experiencing or working on in my own life over a period of probably decades. Because recently, God made me aware that there's some components, there's multiple components that I needed to deal with equally and completely when it comes to repentance. Three big components of repentance. There's the physical side. It's what I did, maybe what I'm doing. Then there's also what I will do. There's a mental component. What was I thinking? Why did I think that way? And what will I do with those thoughts? We could add in another one. I wasn't going to focus on it, but there's also an emotional component. Again, the guilt, the shame. But the last one I really did want to focus on was spiritual component. What have I asked for forgiveness in? And what have I been forgiven of? Those are huge questions. Probably questions we don't consider very much, very often, or nowhere near the extent we should. For me, many years ago, I identified the physical components. I removed them. And I considered it a win, check mark. Didn't consider the mental or the spiritual side of it. 15 years ago, I made a true, full commitment to God and His will. I recognized the sin that had been in my life, was still in my life at that moment anyways, and I did all I could to remove it physically out of my life. I made huge changes to my daily routine. Even to the point where I removed some friends that would either lead me to sin or let me dwell in sin. I added many new good habits to my daily routine. Earlier, I'd been baptized. I knew my sins had been forgiven. But at that point, I was committing to God a new life from there on out. Very little of the transformation, the overall transformation, was instantaneous. Much of it was covered over many, many years. The physical aspect, stopping the sin, that was pretty quick. That was just a mental shift. Nope, I am not doing that ever again, period. But replacing it with positive things, filling that void, that took a long time. At that point, I kind of thought again that all of it was behind me. I was ready to move on and move forward. Again, that was the physical components of the sin, the old sin, the old leaven. Small handful of years ago, I started feeling the mental components of sin. Physically, I'd removed it, but the reality was that mentally, I was still in ways clinging to my former sins. In my thoughts and my dreams. When I say clinging, if I think about it, I dream about it, I still experience some of the pleasure of sin, right? But no harm done. Right? No harm done. Go to Matthew 5 and verse 21. You've heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder. But whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you, again, this is Christ, if you are angry with your brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. If you think it, you're liable. You're guilty. Sin still remains. Our thoughts absolutely come into play here. Our actions might be clean, but if our thoughts aren't, we have not gotten rid of the old leaven. Drop down to verse 27. You've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Twice in one chapter, Christ says, or warns us, of the mental aspects of sin. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations, thoughts, dreams. And every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Where did that last thought come from? We should be asking that almost at every turn. Where did that thought come from? Do we recognize there's only two places a thought can come from? From God, who instills it in us, or Satan? Which one do we want to entertain? And are we not capable of discerning where it came from? We are. I mean, just like that, we know. If we can discern it just like that, do we act out accordingly? We've taken the thought captive, but now do we do something with that thought? I said a few years ago, the mental aspect started tormenting me. Because during the day, I would have what we might call a daydream, just a flash memory or something like that. It wasn't a memory that I triggered. It wasn't a thought that I wanted. And it's just there. It's like, what is going on? I'd have a hard time going to sleep at night anyhow, and then I'd go to sleep. And I'd wake up. And I'd had a dream I didn't want to have. I didn't put that there. Where is that coming from? And bigger yet, how do I stop this? Why is this happening? I talked to a few close friends. I was prayed over. I was anointed. I asked for healing. It wasn't happening. I started praying more fervently about all this, asking God why. What else can I do? Why is Satan controlling my thoughts and my dreams? It was the first time in my life I realized there's demonic activity inside my body. That's scary. I desperately wanted it out. A few months ago, I scrolled for a video to listen to. Turned one on. And shortly after the guy started speaking, I was drawn in pretty hard. And it wasn't necessarily on this topic. But inside that video, he pointed out that when we have problems going on in our life, ongoing, that we don't seem to understand or know where they're coming from, why they exist, it's probably an area where we have not fully repented. And I'm listening to him. It's like, I was baptized. I committed my life to God 15 plus years ago now. I've been doing everything I can to keep all this out of my life. What do you mean an area of unfulfilled repentance. And as he talked, he gave some pretty specifics. I don't remember them all from right now. But he pointed out or helped me understand as I listened to it. And about three quarters of the way into this video, I realized God's talking to me right now. He's opening something up that I've never realized before. I had removed the physical out of my life. But for a long period after I'd removed the physical, I clung to the thoughts. Why would God want to be living in this brain, in this temple, if I'm clinging to something evil? Doesn't matter what level it is, to what extent. He's righteous. He can't live in no dirty house. I needed to ask for forgiveness for clinging on to those thoughts and memories. I'd allowed my mind to be a place that Satan could dwell. Had all that old leaven sitting in there for him. Again, in that video, the presenter said we should go to God and ask for forgiveness on the very specifics of the sin at question. When he phrased that, I realized I had never talked to God about this group of sins. I just allowed the blanket to cover it all, make it go away, wash it away. You know, I don't want to deal with that anymore. But there was this brand new aspect I'd never considered, thought about. Mentally, I clung on to some things that much longer than what I did physically. And that was a new sin all of and by itself. So I went to God. And I said, Father, this very specific thing right here, I'm so sorry. I don't want it anymore. I'm asking you to remove it, because I don't think there's anything more I can do to remove it. And this thing over here, and this thing over here, and this thing down here, and this one over here, I want it all gone. And I was very open and honest with God. And I didn't disguise anything. I didn't withhold anything. I was very particular. It ceased. The weight that came off me over the last few months was huge. And all I had to do was repent. For all of it, not some of it, not for the generalization of my sins, but for each one. Without true and complete repentance, sin still remains. The leavening's still there. We need to recognize those three components, maybe four, of sin. Physical. What we do, how we do it, and where we do it at. The mental component. What we think, what we're thinking now, what we're going to think. And this is all despite whatever is going on physically. And again, we can add in the emotional. Satan wants to use all of this to take us down. You're not worthy. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. And the last component is the spiritual. We must ask and accept forgiveness of both, or all three, our physical, emotional, and mental wrongs. Matthew 6:32. Again, in our passage, we really know. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God has promised to take care of all of our needs. He lists out the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual. He'll take care of it. But do we turn it all over to him? Let him deal with it. Utilize the powers that he's been giving and even gives, passes on to us. Because he wants us to concentrate on the much bigger picture. He didn't want me concentrating on this thing over here and that thing up there and this thing down there. He wants me looking at the bigger picture, the kingdom. Not just considering it, pursuing it all the time in every way. We need to do our part. It's going to take a lot of effort, a lot of strength, some discernment, some wisdom. But I think what I've learned out of this is I need to be willing to talk to God unlike any other being I know. I need to be open and honest in every area of my life. Not just hoping he'll understand, he'll fix it without me asking, he'll give it without me asking. How many passages just ran through your mind about that? We need to do our part. Seeking what should be sought and working where we should be putting effort. So let's be diligent in completely removing the old leaven out of our lives.